الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله وخيرا وأعظم أجرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: السعي على الأرامل والمساكين كالسعي في سبيل الله. وأحسبه قال: القائم لا يفطر وكالصائم لا يفطر، او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we have been discussing the categories of people that spend in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give charity, support the noble causes of deen, the form of institutions, in the form of helping, assisting the orphans and the widows, etc. How people had, second category we had mentioned, they had given preference over themselves. Over their needs, they had given preference. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them immense barakat and reward in this world as well as the hereafter. We had mentioned the incident of that old lady in the wilderness who had nothing besides that one little goat, how she had sacrificed it for the visitors and those people that were going for Hajj, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had repaid her in this world with 4,000 goats and 4,000 dinars. Similarly, we find many, many instances in the lives of people where they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite their needs. They have needs themselves, but they sacrifice either for the poor, for the wayfarer, for the visitor, etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repays them in this dunya. Shaykh Abdul Rabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that there was a lady in a certain village, and she was very well known for her miraculous characteristics. She says, I undertook a journey. I normally don't go and visit any ladies, but I undertook a journey to go and witness this for myself. She says, when I went, it was known about her that she has a goat that gives milk and honey at the same time. So I was very amazed at this story, and I went and looked for her and searched for her. And when I found her, I asked her about this, that I would also like to get from the barakat and benediction of this animal. And I bought a new bowl for me. She handed over the animal to me and told me to milk the animal. So I milked the animal, and together with the milk, the honey also had come out. So he says, we drank the milk and we ate the honey. Thereafter, he says, I inquired from her, how did this happen? She told me a very amazing story. She says, we had only one animal. We were very poor and we had only one animal. And we should use that animal, we should suffice with the milk of that animal. This was the only means of our survival. So when Eid al-Adha came, my husband told me that we should slaughter this animal. I told him that in these circumstances, we are not obliged to slaughter the animal because we have nothing to go by besides this animal. So we spared the animal for the next Eid al-Adha. And approximately at that time, a visitor came. Somebody came to visit us. And you know the rights of the visitor. A guest had come to us, now we had to fulfill his rights. So I told my husband, in order for us to fulfill the rights of this guest of ours, we'll have to slaughter this animal and cook its meat and feed it to him. And this is what we had done. So when my husband went out to slaughter this animal, I told him, take it out from the sight of the children. They will become very saddened and grieved when they see it being slaughtered. So he took the animal and he went out, and he says, while I was in the house, I noticed a goat standing on the wall. And I thought that goat had broken free from my husband's clutches and had come here, and he could not slaughter it. But when I went out to investigate, I found that my husband had slaughtered the goat and he was also skinning the goat. And I told him, this is another goat here. It has a remarkable resemblance with our goat. He said, yes, perhaps it seems Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repaid us for entertaining our guests. They had nothing besides that goat. Allah ta'ala has repaid us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned thereafter, when they began to milk this goat, then honey together with milk was coming out from this goat. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had repaid them. This is how they feel. The recompense for our slaughtering and entertaining our guests, Allah ta'ala has given us this goat here in lieu of that goat. So sometimes, immediately in the dunya, Allah ta'ala gives us the returns. We see it, we witness it, we notice it, we experience it. And much better, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوا عِنَّ اللَّهُ وَأَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. It is much more greater in reward. وَخَيْرُ وَآذَمُ أَجْرًا is better and greater than reward. So spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go in vain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what sacrifices you made. And as I mentioned, It is not the amounts. A person gives a million rand and he has 10 million, he has given 1/10. A person gives 10 rand and he has only 20 rand, he has given 50% of his wealth. A person gives 5 rand, he only has 10 rand, he has also given 50% of his wealth. 5 rand and million rand cannot be compared. But if you look at the percentages, you will know what sacrifice this man has made and what sacrifice that man has made. And most important is ikhlas, to give it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, you find sometimes a person feels that, no, mashallah, I am a very generous man, I give a lot, I have a lot of money, I give a lot. As I mentioned, a person gives a million rand and has got 50 million, feels I give a lot, but as I said, it's 1/50th of his wealth. Definitely, it is a large amount, but it is not a lot. Why? Because if you look at it comparatively with the wealth that's remaining by him, he hasn't even given 20% or 30% of his wealth. Once Allama Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that Sheikh Shibli was sitting and a voice came to him and told him that you are a miser. He said, my proud self said I'm not a miser. Today if you call me a miser, I also would not like it. But if I do some introspection, I may fail and I may be the greatest miser. I'm not a miser. My good self told me I'm not a miser. And voice told me again that you are a miser. I said, no, I'm not a miser. Then to test myself, I said, what I'll do is see whether I'm a miser. Whatever I get, I'll give it away to the poor person. Whatever I get, I'll give it away to the first poor person that I will meet. Says one person came and gave me 50 dinars. 50 dinars, 50 gold coins he gave me as a gift. And as I had promised, I made a promise that the first person I will meet, I will give it to him. Says I took this wealth and went. And the first person I met was a blind person, a ragged blind person who was sitting by the barber shop. And I went there and offered him this wealth. And I told him, this is for you. He said, no, don't give it to me. Give it to the barber. Give it to the barber in lieu of my haircut. In lieu of my haircut, give it to him as wages. I do not require it. Many lessons can be learned in less time. The generosity, how free this person was of want. A blind person says, nay, but yet he's not prepared to take 50 gold coins. He gives preference and he says, the payment of this barber. When he goes to give it to the barber tells him that I can't take it because I had made an intention that I will not charge this person. I will not charge this person because of his poverty, I won't charge this person. So many ways of cutting across here that I won't charge this person, but the money is coming from some other person, so let me take it, no harm to this person. But no, they had stuck to the intentions and the sincerity, they were so sincere in the intentions. I had made an intention not to charge this people because of his poverty, I cannot take this wealth. He says, Allama Sheikh Shibli Rahman says, I felt so humiliated that there is nobody to take my wealth. This blind person don't want to take it, the barber don't want to take it. I took it and I threw it away in the river. And I say, curse be upon you. Curse be upon you, you filthy wealth. And when a person attaches himself to wealth, then he is being humiliated, like I'm humiliated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a great explanation given here that his wealth has been wasted in the river. It's mentioned because in order to save his honor, he had felt very disgusted because his honor was gone and he threw away that wealth. And there are many such examples. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was busy with his horses and he became unmindful of the remembrance of Allah. So what he did, he slaughtered his horses. Similarly, Mada, the incidents of that Sahabi that had a shawl that was dyed with a yellowish red color, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what is this? He took it and threw it away into the fire. That person that broke the dome of his home, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his resentment for such a high building, he demolished that building. So there are many such examples to show us when a person loses his honor. But the lesson for us here is, we have an opportunity where people are prepared to take our wealth. Here the person has the wealth, nobody to take the wealth. Nobody to take the wealth, that beggar doesn't want to take the wealth, and this person also doesn't want to take the wealth. There's one more thing that we forgot. When this blind person told him, give 50 dirhams to the barber, he told him, 50 dinars. 50 dinars. In other words, that is a lot of money to give the barber. That expressed how miserly he was. He wasn't prepared to give that amount of money to the barber. 50 dinars, he expressed. 50 dinars and give to the barber. This was a proof that he's so miserly, he made a pledge to himself that whatever wealth I'll get, I'll give it away. But yet when it came to giving 50 dinars to the barber, he felt it too much. He felt it's too much. Sometimes when you see a person outside, when you give him 2 rands, we feel he's worth of 3 rands. We get a 10-rand note, then we feel this is too much. This is too much. We are in the same context. We feel this is too much for this poor person. But now we have beggars. If you tell a beggar I have no change, you see, we take notes. We take notes as well. We'll appreciate notes, one beggar said. And one person said, I have not notes, I got a card. Took out the machine and said, we got the machine for the card as well. So it is upon our giving, how much we want to give, how miserly we are. Only we know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how miserly we are, and comes to giving to people that are poor. And sometimes we feel that I have earned this wealth because of my cleverness, my expertise, my experience, my position in the shop, my position in the business, etc. There are so many incidents. In fact, it's mentioned some riwayats, إِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ. You are given your rosy because of the people, the weak ones amongst you. The old person, you're looking after the father, the grandfather, the weak child, the sick person. Because of his barakat, Allah Ta'ala is giving you. And that's why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned, as I mentioned initially, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And give from that which we have given you. Why he has given you, how he has given you, Allah Ta'ala knows. The story of Ibrahim Khawasi was going once on a journey, and there was a Christian person who said, I would like to join you. And he had this zannur, it's a cloth that signifies that he's a Christian, around his waist. He joined him and they traveled. While they were traveling, this was customary at that time, that the monks, the Christian monks, used to join the Sufis in their journeys. Says, while they were going, after 7 days, he said to him, told him that I'm very hungry, I cannot sit the hunger anymore. Pray to your Allah, to see how close you are to Allah. What is your maqam in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Pray for him for food. He says, I prayed, Ibrahim Khawas says, I prayed, and we found that suddenly a tray with loaves of bread, roasted meat, dates, and a jug of water. He says, we partook of that and carried on our journey. He says, after 7 days, before he could tell me, I tried to test him, and I said, now you pray to your God, and see, ask for food. So he says, he prayed, and he says, thereafter, double the amount of food came down that had come for me. Double the amount of food had come down that had come for me. He says, I became very sad and I grew pale, and I became very disturbed when I saw this. And I told him, I don't think I will partake of this food. He says, no, we'll have to partake of this food. We'll have to partake of this food. And then he says, I would like to give you two glad tidings. One is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I have accepted Islam. I have accepted Islam. And the second glad tidings he gave, thereafter he broke off this, that was a sign of Christianity on him, this piece of cloth that was on his waist, he tore it off, and he said, the second great tidings I want to give you is, when I made dua, I said, oh Allah, if this person who is following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upon the truth, then send down food to us. And this is what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your being on the rightful deen, of your piety and rightfulness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent double the amount of food. So he got rosy because of this person that was a mu'min. So sometimes we get rosy because of somebody's du'as, because of the elderly mother, because of the widow that we're looking after, because of the yatim child that we are looking after. We get their du'as, like I mentioned last week, Khatima bil khair of that person, of that widowed woman who said, may Allah take you upon iman. So we don't know where the du'as are coming from. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We ought to excel and over each other when it comes to spending the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes Allah ta'ala shows it in this world. Many years ago, there was a friend from Makkah al-Mukarramah that had come for collection of a madrasa. We had gone to a certain place, one of a close relatives of mine, and he was busy in the bathroom, and he gave a message, he's not available. Thereafter, when he was told who had come, he called us back and we sat down. While we were waiting for him, he sent some things, tea, etc. And this person recalled an incident that happened to him in England. He says, there was a person in England, he said, I had gone to England for collection for a madrasa. And when I had gone to the different places, people had given me different amounts. But there was a certain place that I went, that man, the owner, was not there. He phoned and said, I must wait for him. He will be coming in a short while. Thereafter, when I went there, he gave me the largest amount. I forgot what it was, 50 pounds or 100 pounds. And with that, he was apologizing and said, sorry, man, I could not give you more. Yet he gave me the more than all the others. Then somebody told me his story. He says, this person, you know who he is? He was an ordinary worker working here. They have similar situations there as far as housing, etc. is concerned, like we had here previously, that you buy a house and you pay over it over 20 years and 30 years, you pay the installments. There's one person had come for collection, and he had come from India, and he had come and appealed to them in the masjid and stood up and said that I have come from a Darul Uloom and this is our needs, A, B, C, these are our needs. So he said this person was also amongst the congregation. And when he heard this, he came to the Imam Sahib and asked him, did you know this person? He said, yes. Is he an authentic, reliable person? He said, yes. He said, what is his needs? I forgot what was the needs, about 17,000 or 32,000 pounds that he required. This person was so affected by that need of that person and so carried away that he went and sold his house. He sold his house, he took all that money and came and gave it to this alim. There are many people that demand him, how could you do that, sell your house, etc. This house could be yours after 15, 20 years. He said, no, this person has a genuine need and I feel I should assist him. So he assisted him. The world forgets. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. Allah Ta'ala does not forget. What happened, he says, he was working for a certain boss who used to sell fabrics. And that certain boss had a whole consignment of fabrics to go to a certain country, I think it was Indonesia. And for some reason, that sale did not materialize. And this person had a warehouse. This person who sold his house had a warehouse. His boss told him that I will keep it in your warehouse. He said, why don't you sell it to me? He says, yes, by all means. But he says, I have no money to pay it to you. He bought that consignment and he says, Allah is doing that within a few days or within a few months, that price of that particular consignment shot up. And he got 10, 20 times more than what he had paid for that. And with that, in other words, Allah Ta'ala gave him immense barakat in that. Thereafter, he constructed a very big building. And first, he did have only had one house. He had this big building belongs to him. And this alim says, I was sitting and waiting in that building. I forgot how many story building it was. That same person who had sold his house, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala repaid him and given him in the dunya as well. So we not ask of ourselves, we have not reached that level where we can sacrifice. If you can sacrifice our needs and give out in the path of Allah, alhamdulillah. If you can take loans and give, like how our mashayikh used to do, as a Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayh, and many other mashayikh, they used to take loans and feed the people, look after the people. If you can do that, alhamdulillah. But if you can't do that, then at least after we fulfill our needs, the excess that we have, we can spend and help those people. We can cut down our expenditure. The call of the day is Ghouta, this place here in Syria, where we find the people are incessantly bombing the people there without any mercy. And across the board, everything is being bombed. The houses, the masajid, the hospitals, everything you can think of, every structure that is there that has been bombed last week for 6-7 days. Some say every minute was a bomb. Those pictures that were sent of the bombings, sometimes you can count maybe 5 or 6 bombs in a few seconds. Every second there is bombs. More than 400 people have passed away. According to Imdad, 360,000 people have been displaced. And this is the need of the day. Today when you have one person, individual here in Sipingo Beach, that his house is burnt, for example, or his family, he loses one person in the family, we all go to sympathize. And we ought to sympathize. Our duty is our Muslim brother. But here, thousands of people, somebody's parents are gone, only the yatim children are there. Somebody's children are gone, somebody's husband is gone, only the widow is there. Not only the persons are gone that were so close to you of support and the family structure, but all the possessions the person had is also gone. The homes are destroyed, the wealth is destroyed. There's no form of income, there's no form of food, there's no form of food whatsoever. One plea had come from a lady that I am not asking for fruit, I'm asking for a slice of bread. Now imagine my sister, my brother, my father, my child has got no food, got no home, got no clothing. Where will our sympathy go? How much sympathy we will have for that person? That's the amount of sympathy we ought to have for this Muslim brothers and sisters. We may be far, but Allah Ta'ala has given us wealth. Allah Ta'ala has given us, many of us, more wealth than our necessities. First of all, we should cut down on our luxuries, cut down on extravagance, cut down on those things that are unnecessary, and say, this is for those people that are yatim. This is for that widow. This is for that yatim child, an orphan child that is pleading and crying out there. This is for him. I'm cutting out these expenses of mine. But as long as we'll keep, we won't distinguish between our needs and our desires, we'll never have excess wealth. Even if we have the whole world. Even if we have the whole world, if we do not distinguish between our desires and our needs, then no amount of wealth is sufficient for us. These are our needs and requirements, the balance we should pay, given the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially this age and this time. What do we get? We had mentioned this previously as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-yatama kas-sa'i fi sabirillah. That person that makes an effort to look after the widows and look after the miskeen, the poor people, is like a person that's in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much reward a person gets. وَأَحْسِبُ قَالَ كَالْقَائِمِ لَا يَفْتُرُ وَكَالصَّائِمِ لَا يُفْتِرُ. Like that person who's standing in the night in prayer, the person that helps a widow standing in the night in prayer, and he's fasting during the day. His status and his position is like that position. And we had mentioned last week the dua of that widow that landed that person in Sijda in the next to the Baytullah and he left this dunya. That was the barakah of the dua of that widow. So many widows they are here. So many yateems they are here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ahsana ila yateematin aw yateemin indahu kuntu ana wa huwa fil jannati kahatain." It mentioned this previously as well. The person that does good towards a yateem girl or a boy that is by him. Okay, they're not by us, but we can do good towards them by sending our funds to them. Who myself and him, kahatain. We are like this, fil jannah. We are like this. Kuntu ana wa huwa fil jannati kahatain. Myself and him will be like this on the day of in Jannah. This is the reward of a person that looks after the yateem. We have so much opportunities here to help these people. So many of them are yateem. So many of them have become widows. So many of them have lost all their belongings and they have nowhere to turn. And what is our duty? Al mu'minu lil mu'mini kal bunyan yashuddu ba'dahu ba'da. A mu'min for another mu'min is like a wall. Some of it strengthens the other part. And thereafter, وَشَبَّكَ بِيْنَا أَصَابِعِهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interlocked his fingers, they are like this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, أَلْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَرَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ إِنْ اِشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ اِشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ وَإِنْ اِشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ إِنْ اِشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ اِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ وَإِنْ اِشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ The believers are like one person. If part of the body aches, إِنْ اِشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ if the eye is paining and has difficulty and hardship, اِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ The whole body feels the pain. وَإِنْ اِشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ And if the head is paining, the entire body is paining. So when one part of the ummah is troubled, is grieved, is being massacred and slaughtered, then it's like all of us are being slaughtered and massacred. We should make a lot of dua for them from here. Similarly, we should open our hearts, dig deep into our pockets and support these people who are in need. We are sitting in a comfort zone. We do not know what time will bring or what the future will bring. Allah Ta'ala save us. The tables could turn here as well. Everything is in the control of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we should soften our hearts. As Anas radiallahu anhu mentions one riwayat, one sign of misfortune. There are four signs of misfortune. One is the eyes do not cry. The eyes do not cry out of the fear of the akhirat. The second one is the hearts are hard and they feel no sympathy for those people that are in difficulty and hardship. They don't feel any sympathy. The third one is to have distant, long hopes that I will do this, that I will do this, that I will plant this, that I will get this empire and that empire. And the fourth one is greed for worldly wealth. I should begin with myself and see whether these signs of misfortune are found in me or are not found in me. And if they are found in me, I should try and rectify it. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And as I mentioned, there are different categories of people. Those people that sacrifice their needs and spend the part of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions another hadith that the Muslimin in the mutual love for each other, the mutual sympathy for each other, and the mutual kindness for each other, كَمَثَلْ jasad. They are like one body. When one part of the body aches, تَدَاعَ لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسِّحْرِ وَالْحُمَّى Then the entire body responds بِالسِّحْرِ وَالْحُمَّى That entire body is in a state of restlessness, cannot sleep, etc. And وَالْحُمَّى with fever. One portion of the body is troubled, the entire body is troubled. So when one portion of the ummah is in difficulty and hardship, all of us should be in difficulty and hardship. We should feel the pain, we should feel the suffering, we should feel the hardship and grief of those people and share. We can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, that's the greatest weapon we have. There should not be one dua without the mentioning of these yateems, of these miskeens, of these people that are widowed, etc. And similarly, we should dig into our pockets and assist. That will only become possible if we cut down on our luxuries, cut down on our comforts, cut down on our unnecessary spending, and think and have concern for these people. And thirdly, to conscientize the people around us. To conscientize the people around us, they do not be extravagant. Do not waste your wealth. There are so many needy people there and we can gain great status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by supporting them. Today people buy cars worth 1,000,000 rands. Can you imagine that 1,000,000 rands, what can it do to those people there? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. It seems that this has become such a common occurrence. Those days when it happened in Bosnia, etc., we are all concerned. Things happened in Afghanistan, we are all concerned. Thereafter, as this thing began to multiply and the catastrophes came one after the other, it seems to become immune. And we turn a blind eye or a cold shoulder towards these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to support these people to the best of our ability and save us from such calamities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We're having a special collection today also for Ghouta. Today, this evening also, people who cannot give now, kindly see that you can give generously. We appeal to the women folk also as well to cut down expenses and try and assist this brother and sister of ours that are in dire circumstances.